What you doing? I'm the AC, and this is our Talking News Reviews. This time on Talking News Reviews, I'm reviewing Censor by Junji Ito. It was originally published in 2019 by Asahi Shimbun Publications, Inc., and then Viz released in English on August 17th, 2021. Now, like most other Junji Ito releases, it's hardcover, but like most of them, this one actually has a sleeve. Only a few have it, so it's pretty cool to have. You can see underneath the sleeve, pretty bare, and kind of just a continuation of what is on the sleeve itself. Just mainly these strands of something. If you haven't read it yet, it's just these golden strands. The back has this cool, dark monster kind of looking thing amongst everything. And then, of course, on the front, under Censor, it has the woman who is the main character, kind of main focus. We'll get to that in a bit. Now, the inside of the sleeve is really cool. It has the most color to it. You see pretty much most of the characters that play a part in the story in it. But yeah, apparently all the art was just hidden inside. There's also a random cat, which doesn't really make that much of an impact in the story. But yeah, the inside of the cover is really the coolest part. I mean, you got the cool design on the outside of the sleeve, but inside the sleeve is the coolest part. Now, for a more spoiler-free kind of review of this, this has all the standard Junji Ito. There's some creepy illustrations, a lot of death and weird ways, kind of. I will say the story itself, as far as structure and pacing, it is a bit weird. It seems all over the place, but then it all ties together in a weird way. Every time I thought something was just a random, like, oh, this is just another random chapter, kind of like what we would see when he puts short stories together into one story, kind of like Lovesickness with the Beautiful Boy at the Crossroads. So it seemed like just random chapters that all kind of were in the same story. That's almost what this seems like, but then it always tied together to actually make one coherent story. It's weird. We're seeing more of these releases from Junji Ito that are just these one volume releases, kind of just like Ramina. He serialized other stories too, like Uzumaki and Gyo. But yeah, we're seeing more of this lately, and I'm really liking it. It has a different feel, but you read enough of his short stories, enough of the other collected works, you can see how everything ties together and how everything works. And it's kind of that sweet in between of something longer like Uzumaki, which seemed, very thought out and very well structured. And then these short stories and these kind of collected short stories in the same story. This is somewhere in between that. And it follows, this is the other part, it gets weird. It follows this woman named Kyoko Byakuya. She goes to this village called Kiyokami, that's at a base of Solomon Volcano called Mount Sengoku, and she sees all this, like, volcanic hairs-like thing that are golden and flying around and attaching everything. The village is literally covered in it. The people kind of worship it. Because there was like some missionary that was hiding in the village, spreading Christianity, but Christianity's outlawed, and then they protected him, but then he ended up getting thrown in a volcano, and then when he got thrown in a volcano, his golden hair became this Amagami, and it started to attach to people and everything, and now everyone worships Miguel the missionary and this Amagami more than they actually worship Christianity. Which is another weird thing that kind of plays in this. Christianity plays a big part, kind of, as far as just making things move along and having a reason for any of this to happen, which you don't really see much of that in Junji Ito. I think that's another thing I found weird about it, as this is a whole new topic, which doing new topics and ideas is fine. It's just, it kind of caught me off guard. It's just like, bam, here's Christianity stuff. But like I said, all the people in this village, they pretty much ignore the Christianity part. It's just like Miguel and these golden hairs that let them communicate with each other and feel each other, and it like enhances their senses. That's why it's called Censor. these, I guess these hairs act like sensors that just attach to them. And then when they're doing this big worshiping thing, thinking they're going to finally get to connect with Miguel and unlock the secrets of the universe and fill the universe, because that's what the whole reason for Amagami is, to sense the universe and everything it holds. And then big black thing that we see on the back of the cover, definitely probably not Miguel, definitely probably. And then everyone disappears and Kyoko's found in a golden hair-like dome by some firefighters in what we assume is present day. And that's the only chapter where she's kind of the main character. The rest of it follows a no-name reporter named Wataru Tsuchiyaru as he's trying to do a report on Kyoko. He kind of just stumbles upon her accidentally, on purpose. I don't know. I think he was looking for her, and then he stumbles upon her, and then he becomes obsessed with her. It kind of just forgets that he's doing a whole report on her. This is more just a personal thing now. So it follows him trying to follow her and find her. And then it just gets wild. It goes into more. And it's just a roller coaster. I will say it goes down, it goes up. Like I said, it all seems like these just random stories of him trying to find her. But it actually all connects pretty well in a weird way. Until it just... So yeah, the main themes are sensing the universe, a little bit of Christianity, I guess? Not really? I don't know, believing in something? I guess that's going to be the universe again. And then there's this play of light versus darkness. We get the gold hair, which is kind of the light, and then the darkness is the big thing that everyone thought was going to be Miguel, but it turns out to be something completely different. Yeah, it's a wild thing, but if you want to actually know what makes it so wild, you should read it, because now I'm going to actually get into the spoilers part, because there's a whole lot I want to talk about. Okay, so let's talk about stuff in more detail, but where to even begin, for real. Let's start with talking more about Kiyokami Village. So, as we get more into the story, it turns out the village Kyoko went to was apparently wiped out by Mount Sengoku's eruption 60 years ago, as far as we can tell. There's some time stuff in here too that is making it weird. And then, I think by the end of the story, it's been 2 years. And then there's a whole nother time jump where they go back in time. Like I said, it's a whole lot of wild mindedness. I guess I'll just go chapter by chapter. That seems to be the easiest. So, when Wataru first shows up, chasing after Kyoko, or about to start chasing after Kyoko, it wasn't very clear. I feel like he went there on purpose, but it also kind of just seemed like he was looking for something to report on and just didn't expect to run into Kyoko. But not only does he run into Kyoko, he runs into Kageru Aido, who is the leader of the Indigo Shadow, who uses this Akashic Records, which is like a library of the universe where he can tell where everything's documenting and can tell anything that's happening. Weird, he just meditates on it. Cool, he kind of is just a weird dude, long black hair. But yeah, and then they capture Kyoko. I think going to use her just to get even more in touch and tap into the universe's secrets. But then, of course, Kyoko and Wataru escape, and it seems like everybody there was going to be dead. Okay, then we move on. Wataru loses track of Kyoko pretty much right away. Trying to find more into her, researching people, ask some of the medics, firefighters, people who found her. He is eventually led to Dr. Kurodera, whose son brought her, Kyoko, there when after first being found, and was doing some hypnotic therapy on her to try to unlock her secrets. And I guess Dr. Kurodera just left his son to do all this before. And he apparently was part of Kiyokami Village before it destroyed, but left for some reason. I don't really think it says why he left. Everyone else seemed to be like so connected. and really just worship being there. And it doesn't really give a reason why he leaves. Maybe he just had messed up. Maybe he had a reason. Maybe the Amagami made him leave for some special reason. But anyways, his son's doing this hypnotic therapy on Kyoko. It gets a little weird. He starts describing the things about Kyoko and sensing her, and it almost just makes it seem like he was molesting her while she was in this like hypnotic state, and it's like, oh no. And I think even his dad starts thinking, it's like, what was he doing? And then actually shows him kind of doing it to himself. So it may have been he may have literally just been laying next to her, also hypnotizing himself to try to feel what Kyoko was feeling. But doing this apparently helped him also get more in touch, sense the universe more. So much so that, of course, with the beautiful artwork of Junji Ito, it just gets real weird with his eyes and internal sensors. Which, callback to Uzumaki, the little spiral parts in his ears coming out, his eyes coming out, his nose sensors, I don't know, I think it was his hair, tongue, all that stuff just swelling on his body, and then he turns into all kind of neuron stuff and flies off into the rest of the universe, and his dad's just like, fuck. Yeah, and then he goes on from there. And he's just telling all this to Wataru, and I think he just accepts it. And then, not only that, Wataru is having these dreams too, kind of like he was in a hypnotic state. Ellen really shows it at the end of that chapter, though. Now, moving on to the next chapter. It shows him having dreams now of Kyoko at some cliff. He ends up at a place called Bishigarua. And it shows Kyoko's there, standing at the edge of the cliff. Turns out the cliff is famous for people committing suicide. And she's eventually not stopped, but assisted, kind of stopped, potentially stopped, from jumping off by a woman named Ryu Kurata, who works at some tea house with some other man, who I don't know was ever named or not. I tried looking for his name, I might have missed it, but it never says his name. And apparently the two of them have this tea house there, and they kind of just wait and try to stop people from committing suicide. Really noble thing to do. Really cool. And except for there's these weird bugs, weird big bugs that people say they hate even more than cockroaches. And they keep wanting to jump underneath people's feet, which was a very obvious thing where this was leading to. But Rie tells Kyoko the story about how her boyfriend committed suicide right in front of her by jumping on a train. Then she accidentally steps on a bug and turns out it might be her boyfriend. Yeah, all these bugs seem to be the spirits or the manifestation of all these people that committed suicide. Wataru finally shows up. The guy does the same thing Rie did to Kyoko, Chala pulls him in. Wataru tells the guy he's looking for Kyoko, but before they can even do anything, Kyoko lures all these bugs away, jumps off the cliff with all the bugs disappear, she disappears, and Wataru can't find her anymore. Okay, and then this is where it gets weird, and it seems to just go random and completely off track. I don't know. He can't find Kyoko anymore, not really having any dreams, but instead he had dreams of a past stalker from 5 years ago named Beniko Yamaoka, and for some reason she's popping up again. He doesn't know why, and then she starts sending letters, pretty much knowing everything he's doing. And while he's walking around one day, somebody goes and hits a traffic mirror, which I didn't know were real things. It made complete sense. And bends it. He thinks he's trying to hit him. He's paranoid. But then he drives off, hits another one right down the street. And then it turns out, everyone starts breaking these mirrors because they think somebody's watching them. And then Wataru eventually realizes this guy was hitting the poles on purpose to try to bend them in certain ways. Also, there was another explosion where more Amagami, but this time black, was floating around, and he realizes they were getting onto these mirrors and then the people hitting them, so they bent perfectly so people could watch through these mirrors to watch people. It was a weird, I don't know if that science works, but with the magic of Amagami, I guess it does. And then after Wataru realizes this, he goes back to Dr. Kuradera. and it was a trap because his stalker's there, a whole bunch of weird people are there, including the person hitting the poles, and circling all back around, so it actually makes sense. Kagero Aido, the leader of the Indigo Shadow, is back again, and this time all bandaged up because he got really burnt. Yeah, it all ties together. Yeah, what seemed just, the whole time I was reading that chapter, I was like, this is just random. It's like, was this supposed to be here? I trust everything Jujutsu is doing, but for that one chapter, I was just questioning it. And then the trap and Kageru coming back. Okay, it makes sense now. Cool. Then it gets weird. And this still gets weird. Of course it gets weird. It's Junjito. That's why I like it. So Kageru and all his followers ended up, of course, trapping in Dr. Kuradera and Wataru. But also anyone that has met Kyoko, they pretty much took them together and are using them as mediums to try to connect and find Kyoko and get more of this Black Amagami to get more power and feel more of the universe and more weirdness as they do this. And the people with the Black Amagami in their hairs are, I guess the hair is going into their faces, which made me a little I like black hair. That made me a little paranoid. Also, I wish my hair was black, but now I don't know. And then, I guess another spur of Amagami, and everyone's, this time, encased in black Amagami shells, and the followers start screaming and whatever. Everyone is pretty much vaporized, had the life drain out, except for Dr. Kuradera, for some reason, who was spared. I don't know. I guess he still has the strength of the gold hair. Maybe that helped him. Maybe they were purposely letting him live to still kind of be some kind of link to find Kyoko. I don't know. It was weird. But then, Wataru, who was being harassed by his stalker, is gone. And now we're in the past. And this part confused me a little bit. For some reason, I immediately was like, because I was still, before I went back over to review everything, thinking, oh, it went 60 years in the past, because that's when the Vigil Act, oh, it went all the way back to Miguel days, which confused me a little bit. I was like, where are they? Wataru was confused too. Yeah, this goes all the way back from them hiding because of Christianity, and then who else is there but Kyoko? That's where she disappeared to. She went all the way to the past. Wataru can't interact with anything but Kyoko, but he's seen everything play out, and Kyoko trying to help him and get away. They're still captured. Anyways, and because who else is going to pop up but Kagero? Wow! All that power he got from the Black Amagami also helped him go back in time. Don't know why he bothered, I guess, to not really stop Miguel, but to, I guess, absorb it right when it all releases the first time. Because you think it would have stopped Miguel if he would have just not thrown him into the volcano. But he does. He makes everyone, including Kyoko and Miguel, carry crosses up to the top. Then they kick him off, which is dark and brutal. And they end up going in anyways. If I guess he was just going to absorb the power right away. But yeah, Kyoko, Miguel, they combine, their hair combines into this golden light, fall in, kind of, I don't know, like starts fighting against this darkness in the universe. And this is where this kind of theme that you don't know is actually going on to the very end of light versus dark. And if you look at Kagero, he kind of looks like this dark black thing that of the universe. I don't know what to call it, just darkness, I guess. But yeah, he kind of looks like he has his eyes and his little dot on his head. But yeah, it's just like the bat. So I don't know if he was actually evil or the evil was starting to manifest itself more into Kagero. But yeah, it was an interesting thing. And then after that, Wataru is transported back into the future at light. Like nothing. All the followers are still there. We don't know what happens to them. Dr. Kuradera is just surprised he's there. And then from this point on, Wataru just has these dreams of this darkness and then one dark of light that is trying to fight against it. And now it's a never-ending war. And he doesn't think the light's going to ever lose, but it's kind of not really making any progress in winning either. So that's that. It's a weird one.
It is weird.
It seems all over the place, and it kind of is, because if you look at the afterword, there's a whole lot more information from Junji Ito describing it. And this is one of the things I love about Junji Ito, is his commentary whenever he adds them. He's added some to his short story collections. And I love it. I love commentary and getting an inside look of what the author is thinking. Also, this afterword is just amusing, just because of the tone of it. I don't know if it's because of the way it was translated, or, I mean, we know Junji Ito has a sense of humor for all this stuff, but he kind of wrote it like, I have to do this, and here's some information, and this is why it turned out weird. Not making excuses. Also, my characters seem to be doing stuff on their own. This isn't what I intended. I didn't want to do that. I didn't think it was real. I have weird feelings about that too. It's like, you're the writer, you control everything. He even says that. He's like, isn't the writer the one that controls everything? I don't know. Oh, well, this happened. He's kind of, it's like he's making fun of it and the fact that he has to do it afterward. But I don't think it's like, like he doesn't want to do it. I think he's just making fun, having a little fun with it. But also, interesting thing is when he was serializing this, it was originally called Travelogue of the Succubus. I'm assuming Kyoko was supposed to be the succubus. But he talks about how Kyoko was supposed to be the narrator for this, but then she gets the secrets of the universe, so she can't really be a narrator. Which, one, I think she should be the narrator. That makes the most sense. The one who would know everything. And then you say he brought Rotaru in as a reporter, and he was going to be a narrator in Kyoko's place, but then he never wanted to report. More of this humor. Also, I talked about him never doing a report earlier. Yeah, it's just fun stuff. And it was just, I don't know, I like stuff like this afterwards, commentary, stuff like that. Last bit is, besides all this, the book, Viz Media's YouTube also, they do like a little series of scary stories with Junji Ito, and they did one with Censor. I watched something, but I guess I forgot what they were. And it kind of just like animates the panels a bit. It's still just the panels, and they kind of like fill in the words and the bubbles and put some music, and it's a nice ambiance with all of it, and it's really cool. They did it for the first, most of the first chapter for this one, so if you're curious about this, you want to see more than just me talking about it, you can find it on Viz Media's YouTube. Really cool. I would be fine with seeing the entire book like this. It's a really neat thing. I really like it. I wish I could see more of this, and there's only a handful, I think like 9, and did it with a few different stories, but they're all really cool, so you can check that out. But yeah, that is it for, I guess what I gotta say for Censor. It's a wild one. It's completely enjoyable. It's going to catch you off guard. Of course, I mean, if you read it, you already know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it and you're at this point, I pretty much told you everything that happened. It's just, I don't know. I just wanted to talk about kind of how everything made me feel a bit. It's not ridiculous, but it is kind of like, huh, you're doing that. I mean, it's typical Junji Ito, the art, the story, the weirdness, but the creepiness in the art and the story. Maybe not as creepy, per se, but it's not as scary either. But Junji Ito has a lot of these, like, psychological stuff. He has creepy stuff. He has kind of mysterious stuff in it. So he has a range. He's not just horror, only horror. So this is another one that just weird ones of his. I really liked it. But that is it for this Otaku News Reviews. If you have read Censor, let me know what you thought, what your opinions on of it is compared to his other works. If you're looking forward to seeing more like this, like I said, it's somewhere in between his like short stories, collection of short stories, and his more longer works like Uzumaki. But yeah, go ahead and leave a comment about all that stuff if you think. If you haven't read it, you should. But yeah, if you like what I have to say about it, go ahead and give it a like. You want to see more of my Otaku News Reviews, go ahead and subscribe. You can see more of all that. But until next time, I'm the AC. Thank you so much, and bye.